Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Exodus, chapter 4. Exodus, chapter 4. How do you react to a challenge? Have you ever had a challenge? Had anyone to challenge you about something? Whether it's scholastically or it's physically with a workout training of some sort. Have you ever had that challenge? Well, in the book of Exodus, verses 2 through 4, I want to read about a challenge. And the Lord said to him, "What is this in your hand? What is that in your hand?" And he said, "A staff." Then he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail." So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. Now, if you were Moses, would you have considered that a challenge? You throw your staff down on the ground, it becomes a snake. Now the text says, verse 3, that Moses fled from it. What does that mean? It means exactly what we think it means. He was afraid. He was scared. He was frightened by what he saw. And most of us, I don't know what kind of snake it was, if it was a black mamba, if it was a king cobra, or some kind of other viper or something, I don't know. But it was significant to the fact that Moses fled from it. Then the Lord says, "Pick it up by the tail." Now, if that's not a challenge, I don't know what a challenge is. The scripture says that he stretched out his hand and he caught it and it became a staff in his hand again. Now that certainly was a challenge. So how do you react to challenges? I may have told this story before, but my grandfather, he was quite my hero in the day. And I would go down and stay on the farm, and he was just a legend in my mind. He was a hero. He was bigger than life. And he's the kind of fella that if he saw a snake, he was a little more courageous than Moses. He would not flee from it. In fact, he would pick it up by the tail and he would take that snake, and I don't know how he did it, but he would pick that snake up and he would whip that snake and the head would come off. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody do that. I never did that myself personally. But how do you accept a challenge? With fear? With uncertainty? Or excited and fired up and ready to face it? I think how we face life's challenges, whether it's losing weight because of health concerns, you need to eat better, continuing your education, or trying to be a better spouse, a better parent, I think those kinds of challenges that we face in life is evidence of how we might be accepting the spiritual challenges that we have in our life as a Christian. I want you to turn with me and look with me this morning concerning the idea of courage. And turning your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. We'll read a few verses here, and I think these are passages that might encourage us and have us to look inwardly at ourselves about our own courage that we have to face challenges. As we look at this passage in Matthew 16, I want to begin reading verse 24. Notice the text. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will it be profited, a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then recompense every man according to his deeds. I think there are those who say they want to be a Christian, or say that I am a Christian, but really have never accepted the challenge to actually live or be a Christian. Now, this is just a snippet of scriptures that of scripture that teaches us the great challenges here. You notice that we looked at the idea of denying yourself and taking up your cross, and the challenge of not trusting in riches. And though you gain the whole world, what would it profit you? Well, the fact that we're going to stand before God and give an account, certainly we ought to understand that being a Christian is a challenge. So my question would be to us today, have we really, really accepted the challenge of being a Christian? Have we really the courage to face that challenge? I'd like to look at one more passage briefly, and that's in the book of Luke, chapter 14. And Luke chapter 14 deals with the idea of counting the cost. And that is to take a serious survey of the challenge of being a Christian and being able to do what we need to do. Look with me, if you will, at Luke 14, beginning at verse 25. The text says, "Now great multitudes were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it began to ridicule him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and take counsel whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks terms of peace. So therefore, no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Therefore, salt is good, but even if salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, I read all that passage to illustrate this simple point, that Jesus was trying to say, if you're going to be my disciple, you have got to understand it is a challenge. And you need to calculate, you need to look at your life and ask yourself this simple question: if I start to do this, am I going to be able to finish it? Am I going to be able to do so with courage? Well, this morning, the challenge of being a Christian is something that I would like for us to think a little bit about. The very idea of courage, I think, is an interesting idea. If you look at some of the synonyms of the word courage, we see the word bravery. We see the word fearlessness, daring, boldness, backbone, spirit, resolve. You know, we could spend a lot of time this morning giving lots of examples that we might be very familiar with in this life about courage. This is Memorial Day weekend. We are in Decoration Day, remembering the all the soldiers that have given their lives, the ultimate sacrifice, those who have served their country. And it's a well-deserved memorial time for us to think about that. We recently got a copy of the new National Geographic, and on the front of it was the United States' oldest, greatest generation World War II survivor. He's 110. But we look at those people with great admiration because of their courage, because of their willingness to fight. We can equally look at lots of examples about those fighting sickness and disease and death. But for a few moments this morning, I would like to talk to you about some New Testament Christians that typically we do not pay that much attention to that had great courage. There are a plethora of Bible examples, both old and new, of men and women having great courage in their service to God. But this morning, I would like to look at a few examples that maybe we've not considered that much. Well, the first one, the apostles, we have talked about. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, do you remember the fact that when they stood on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem and they preached that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you have stopped to consider the fact that they had great courage to do that, right? Because they did. In verse 22 of Acts 2, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And in verse 36, the Apostle Peter says, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, not only did the apostles on the day of Pentecost stand up and with the power of the Holy Spirit within them to speak in tongues that they had not studied or learned, they spoke by verbal inspiration that Jesus is the Son of God. Now remember, just a few days prior to that, when Jesus is arrested, you remember that the Apostle Peter denied the Lord three times, right? You remember in Matthew 26 and verse 56 that when Jesus was arrested, all the disciples fled. They all forsook him. Now, an amazing transformation happens in the next several days. Jesus is put to death on the cross. The third day he raises from the dead. He appears to the disciples for 40 days. He goes out to Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, with his disciples, and he ascends into heaven. Having just said to them, I want you to go into Jerusalem, and I want you to wait for the Comforter, and he will give you power. Acts chapter 2 is the fulfillment of that. And the apostles stood, who had just a few days earlier had fled and denied, now stand before thousands of people and proclaim not only that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but pointing the finger, as it were, to those whom they were speaking to as having murdered the Son of God. There's no other way to describe except this way. These men had great courage to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That example I think we're pretty familiar with. But let's notice on a little bit further to some of the converts to Jesus Christ. Turn over to chapter 4 of the book of Acts. I want to read the first four verses there. In the first four verses of chapter 4 of Acts, the text says, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Now, what is interesting here, we find that on the day of Pentecost, just a few days before this, that when the apostles showed great courage and taught the Word of God, that there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now we find in chapter 4 that the number of men comes to be about 5,000. And that's plus women and children. But what had happened here? Well, in chapter 3, what we find has happened here is that Peter and John go into the temple. And as they're in the temple area, they see this lame man. They heal this lame man. And then they began to preach almost exactly the same kind of sermon outline that we see in Acts 2. Then the Jews come and arrest them. I want you to think about something. This number that comes to be about 5,000 men, do you think they knew what was going on? Do you think they knew that Jesus had been put to death because he claimed to be the Son of God? They saw Peter and John arrested because they were preaching about the resurrection of Jesus. And yet what we see here is the great courage of these converts to believe the message spoken, and regardless of the fact that the ones that were teaching them were being arrested and put in jail, they're still obeying the gospel. Now I want you to hold on to that thought. Go to chapter 5. In chapter 5, I want you to notice that there is a church incident. It's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. I think you are familiar enough with that story to remember that they lied about what they were giving. And both of them fell dead. In the text, let's start at verse 9. Peter said to her, that is Sapphira, says, "Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they should carry you out as well." And she immediately at his feet, or she fell immediately at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church. You think? The fact that these two fell dead as a result of their lying, and Peter made it clear that they were lying, the whole church understood what had happened, and they were fearful. And the text says, "And upon all who heard of these things." Well, don't you go down there with that bunch of Christians. I'll tell you what, if you're not just exactly worshiping God and doing what He says from the heart, well, God will just strike you dead. Now, what would you analyze from that situation? Most people would say, "I'm staying away from there. I'm not going to be around that group of people. Because I'm fearful that I might get in that situation, and if I don't calculate the cost, and I don't understand the challenge, I may fail the challenge and I may join that group and then fall down dead because I was not able to follow the Lord. Now notice verse 12. And at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place by the people, among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. Now notice the contrast here. None of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. You get the idea here in verse 13. There were a bunch of people said, just like we said, I'm not going to hang around those folks. But yet, how did they feel toward those people? They admired the people that were of courage and faced the challenge and became Christians and joined with a group of people of that caliber. There was an influence that was there for good. Now, verse 14. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. Let's read that verse one more time. That's a beautiful passage. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of the men and women were constantly added to their numbers. Someone has said that this passage is expressing the idea of the great stream or river flowing abundantly to the fact that now they don't count them. There's not about 3,000. There's not about 5,000 men. What does it say? Multitudes of men and women. Bunches. This is what Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 said. The text says that people of all nations would stream into it. We're not talking about a little trickle. We're talking about a stream, multitudes of people. Now again, consider the context. There had to be throughout Jerusalem the understanding that if you become a Christian, you just might be put to death. And if you don't worship God from the heart, you might drop dead. God may strike you. Did that deter people? Some. But what did it also do for so many people? Multitudes obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now what would you call that? What would you call people that under these conditions would become Christians? You say, well, they have great faith. That's true. I want to suggest to you that they had great courage too. One other example. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we meet up with a fellow by the name of Ananias. And I think we all know this story pretty well. Saul of Tarsus going about persecuting Christians. He was wreaking havoc upon the church. And everybody knew who Saul was. Especially if you're a Christian, you knew who Saul was. Ananias knew who Saul was. So God appears and says to Ananias, I want you to go and talk to Saul. Now what was Ananias' reaction to that? No. It was much like Moses' reaction when God says to Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and meet Pharaoh and lead my people out. And Moses says, no thank you. So that was a great challenge both to Moses and to Ananias. You remember the story, don't you? Doesn't Ananias go? Now he took a little convincing. Go back and read the text, verses 10 through 18. God convinces, Ananias to do this. At some point, Ananias had to say, okay, Lord, you're right. This is a tough assignment. I know you have chosen this man to be a special servant of yours. Although I'm scared to death, I have some doubts. I have some concerns. I'm going to be of great courage. And if you will understand the application, I'll reach down and pick up that big snake by the tail. Although I'm scared to death. And Ananias went. And Saul was baptized into Christ. And do we know the rest of the story about Saul of Tarsus, who he becomes? Only the Apostle Paul. Now, what should we conclude from this? I chose these stories to simply to illustrate something that I think is very, very important. There are many, many more examples throughout the Bible, as I said a moment ago, of great courage. The people of God that had great courage and faced great challenges, they overcame and was faithful and accomplished what God had commanded. You know, being a Christian is not easy. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you heard a preacher or a teacher say, being a Christian is not easy? Well, first of all, is that true? Number two, what has your experience as a Christian taught you? Is it easy? When you think about your life and how you have lived your life, does it take a lot of faith to serve God? Yes. Does it also take courage? Yes. Do I need to say that in the last few weeks that we have been met with a lot of challenges? Being a Christian is not easy. Elders throughout the world have faced challenges of how are we going to fulfill what God has taught us to do? How are we going to meet together? How are we going to eat the Lord's Supper? How are we going to worship together? How are we going to do this? And yet there is this pandemic, this virus, and we're afraid to even, talk to each other on the phone, afraid we're going to catch it. We become very fearful. And I'm not going to suggest that you should not be concerned about your health, that you should not take any precautions and so forth. But at some point in time, it does become a matter of faith. It does become a matter of courage. I am fearful that many who are listening this morning, whether at home, in the parking lot, or in the building, or who listens to this sometime later. Here will be the challenge for us all. Has it been difficult for us as Christians to do what we believe God wants us to do in the last few weeks? There have been many that have been fearful of their life. The elderly, the sickly, those who have health conditions, they've been concerned. And before you just throw this away and say, it's not that big a deal, it doesn't bother me. There have been and are Christians, faithful Christians, who have already died from this virus. Death can be a possibility. We must understand that. But what's the challenge of being a Christian? We must face any and all challenges of life with courage. That doesn't mean, yet again, that you not be precautious. That does not mean that you just totally ignore any kind of health concerns. My fear is not that for brethren. My fear is that there will be some who will be like the man with the one talent, who will just bury themselves with their talent and just stop serving God, period. Has it not been a challenge for you at home to continue Bible studies? There's been all sorts of availability of online things to study with. How many of you actually have done that? Have you just taken the time off? Well, we don't have to go to church, so we don't have to study anymore. We don't have to pray anymore. We don't have to worship anymore. We don't have to do all of that. Did you know that the church here has been providing all sorts of study opportunities Sunday night, Wednesday night through Zoom, YouTube, Facebook? And if you see yourself as an individual who has just decided not to take advantage of any of that, what are you doing? I'm afraid you have failed the challenge. Now, if you're having your own Bible studies and you're coming up with your own studies, I think that's great. You don't have to study what I'm studying. But are you studying? Is your family seeing through this virus pandemic? Are they seeing a greater faith in the way we live our lives? Or are they seeing we're just taking a time out? Being a Christian is not easy. Each of us, to be Christians, must accept the challenge of being a Christian with great courage. One last passage I want to read to you, and that's in the book of Joshua. Joshua is one of those great, great studies. He is a great man of faith, and he had a lot of challenges facing him, not only personally with his own faith, but with those that were that he was leading. Just as Moses had great challenges with the people of Israel, Joshua had great challenges with the people. But in the first few verses of the first chapter, we find this is God talking to Joshua. And Reader's Digest version is, God says to Joshua, "Moses was a great servant of mine. I was with him. I helped him. He led my people. He kept my commandments. Now you're my leader of my people. I want you to lead my people, and I'll be with you." And several times this is repeated, but I want you to notice, if you will, verse 9. Joshua 1 and verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I wonder if that's true for us today. Did not the Lord promise that He would never leave us? So how do we face challenges? Don't be silly. Don't be foolish. If you're going out into battle, put your helmet on. If you're going out in battle, make sure you got your sword and your shield. Great faith and courage does not mean as a soldier you just go out there without anything and face the devil and say, "I'm not afraid to die." That's stupid. We are in a time of challenge. Put your armor on. Be precautious. Be wise. Be smart. But don't sit down and quit either. Be courageous. Be strong. Appreciated so much the prayer of Isaac. In a time like this is not when we do less. Times like this is when we do more. And I take that as a personal challenge for myself. And I hope you take a personal challenge for yourself. So, rather than "I can't do it," how about "I can do it too"? I can do it. I can be the kind of convert to Christ that those people were back in Acts 2, in Acts 4, in Acts 5. Have great faith and have great courage. Thank you for listening today. There might be one present that is not a member of the body of Jesus Christ. We'd like to encourage you to be obedient to the gospel even today. If you need the prayers of the brethren here, we'll pray with you and pray for you. But I want to encourage all of us as Christians is to be strong and courageous, as God even said to Joshua. To each of us, let's serve Him to the best of our ability. Do all that we can to serve Him with all of our hearts. If we can help you in any way, be obedient to the Lord. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?